to us.
Okay, Luke 10, starting at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hand of the robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise.
Thanks, Vince. When I was preparing for today, I was very, very excited. And part of my excitement led me to do a little bit of canvassing. So what I did, I went round and asked various people within the church if they love their neighbour as they love themselves. And I'm going to relay one conversation I had with a volunteer on the youth work. I won't name and shame them, but they've given me permission to relay this story. I went up to him and I said, okay, do you love your neighbour as you love yourself? I'm going to be talking on it in a couple of weeks. And they turned around without hesitation and said, yeah, of course I do. And looked at me like I was a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic. And I thought, I wasn't really deterred by that because I know there's a lot that we know that we don't actually put into practice. So I thought, let me question a bit more. I said, okay, think of the young people in your youth club. You turn up week in, week out. Do you love them as you love yourself? And I said, before you answer, I'm not talking about a nice kind of love. I'm not saying, do you care for them? I'm not saying, oh, you don't wish them no harm. But do you love them with a sacrificial, Christ-like love? And their answer that they gave me was extremely honest, very simple, yet quite profound. They said, do I love my young people? No. Should I love my young people? Yes. Can I love my young people? Probably. I think that really ties us into today's parable. There was that youth work volunteer who knew what was required of them, knew that they were required to love their neighbour as they love themselves, yet didn't actually act it out. And here we have an expert in the law who goes up to Jesus. Now, an expert in the law is just that. He's an expert. He's not just a religious man. He doesn't just know things. He is like the man. And he goes up to Jesus and asks a relatively common question. You see it elsewhere in the Gospels. He said, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus is like the master of answering these questions because he just flicks it back onto the expert. He says, well, you tell me. You tell me how you see it. And what becomes apparent is this expert of the law knows what is required of him. He recites Leviticus 19, verse 18. He says, I'm required to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, and with all my strength. And then he recites Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. He says, and I'm required to love my neighbour as I love myself. And Jesus simply says, well, go and do it. And what becomes apparent is the expert of the law knows what's required, but he's not actually living it out. Because then he goes on to justify himself and says, well, actually, who's my neighbour? And I think there's a real parallel between this expert of the law going up to Jesus and that volunteer who I spoke to. They both knew that they were required to love their neighbour, but actually, when the rubber hit the road, were they doing it? For the expert in the law, the command to love his neighbour had been replaced by law. And I wonder what our starting point is this morning. I want us to really be thinking as I'm speaking. I don't want you to just absorb what I'm saying, but I want you to really be thinking about your life. What is our starting point this morning? Is it knowing that we're required to love our neighbour as we love ourselves, and do we actually do that? Or do we know, in terms of a head knowledge, that we're required to love our neighbour, but actually when the rubber hits the road, in reality, we don't do it for whatever reason that might be? So Jesus kicks in with the parable. And he starts by saying, there's this guy walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he's walking along a notoriously dangerous road. I was trying to think of a modern-day equivalent, and I couldn't really think of one. Maybe 8 Mile in Detroit, like proper dangerous. You know, you're taking your life into your own hands when you walk down a road. And a fairly common thing happened. He gets jumped by a group of robbers. He gets robbed. He gets beaten up. He gets stripped of his clothes, and he's left laying half dead in the road. Basically, he was in a right old state. That is the guy who we're presented with. When I was thinking about this, I was like, gosh, how many people in Bethnal Green have I come across in the 25 years, nearly 25 years, that I've been living here, who I've come across who've been beaten up and who are laying half dead in the road? The reality is none. I'm quite thankful for that, but how many people will I come into contact who are laying half dead in the road? Probably none. But what I thought was quite interesting was Jesus presents the expert in the law with a nameless individual who is in desperate need. And I thought, gosh, how many people daily do I come across who are in desperate need, whether that's physically or whether that's spiritually? I want you to think of your life, whether you go to work, whether you take the kids to school, who do you come into contact with who is in desperate, desperate need? It might be it's a colleague. It might be your geographical neighbour. It might be a mother in a playground. It might be the guy selling a big issue. They're the people who we're called to love. People who are hopeless. People who need to hear the good news of Christ. They're the people who are in desperate need. In essence, they are our people who are laying half dead in the road. So we know who our neighbour is. The guys on the video going around the clubs, they amaze me. We had such a range of responses from my neighbour is the Chinese people next door to my neighbour is my enemy. Such a vastness, but actually they're all true. Okay, so let's read on a bit. So firstly, looking at verse 31 to 32. Jesus talks about these two religious guys who come across the situation. First up, you've got a priest. So he's walking along the same road that this guy's been robbed and left half for dead. And he comes across and he sees this situation and he has a little look. He sees the man. That's what it says clearly in the text. He sees the man, yet he passes by on the other side of the road. Next up, you've got the Levite. He comes along and does exactly the same thing. He too sees the guy laying half dead in the road. And he too carries on the other side of the road. Both men noticed the guy, but neither of them stopped to pay him attention. I remember back to my Sunday school days, and I really remember people being quick to bash the priest and the Levite for not stopping to help this guy. And actually, I think they're a bit hard done by, because I think they possibly had legitimate and justifiable reasons not to stop and help the guy. It could have been for religious reasons. The Old Testament law said if you touched someone who, if you touched like a dead body, then you was unclean for a week. Now, if they come across this guy and thought that he was dead, that might be a legitimate reason not to stop and pay attention. It would be like a carpenter not being able to touch wood for a week. It would have an impact upon their role and their job and their responsibilities. It could simply be that they were scared. I think that we could all identify with that. That could be a justifiable reason for not stopping. But the reality is they both saw the guy and they didn't pay any attention. Let's contrast that to that of the Samaritan. So the Samaritan too, travelling down the same road, sees the guy. And on seeing the guy, hear the difference. He doesn't cross over to the other side of the road to carry on his way. He stops and he's filled with pity for this guy who he encounters. And what happens as a result? He's led to action. He does something about seeing this guy. And I think the first thing that we can say is that love pays attention. For the priest and for the Levite, they saw the man and carried on their way. But where the Samaritan differs is that he saw the man, but he paid him attention. He stopped and he acted upon what he saw. What does loving our neighbour look like? Loving our neighbour is paying attention. I wonder who we most identify with. And I'm really keen that you know that I'm talking to myself this morning rather than talking at you, and that I'm above you on a pedestal, because that's not the case at all. Love pays attention. Religion noticed the man, but love was the thing that caused the Samaritan to act. What is Jesus saying? He's saying love is more than noticing. Love pays attention. It pays attention to our enemies. It pays attention to our relatives. It pays attention to our colleagues. It pays attention to our kids in the clubs. It pays attention to the family in Bouncers. Love pays attention. So for the Samaritan, he pays attention to the guy, but what does he do? Verse 34 and 35 tell us the Samaritan stopped, he tended to the man's wounds, he took him to an inn, he returned the next day, gave his own money for the man's care, and was willing to pay for more. For the Samaritan, loving his neighbour wasn't something twee, it wasn't something nice and easy, it was something that was costly. It cost the Samaritan his time, and it cost the Samaritan his money. The Samaritan sacrificed stuff that's important to him. He'd done it for this guy he didn't particularly know. The love he showed towards the man had a practical expression. I want to share with you a story that happened about a week and a half ago. I've just moved out of my parents' house and into my own little palace. And I was really praying when I moved that God would really use me to speak to my geographical neighbours on the landing. They're all like white East Enders, and I proper love them. And I thought, God, please give me opportunities to speak to these people and be able to share something of you. And the other week, Dan came to do some videoing for an HL project. And to be honest, that day was a very, very long day. What I wanted to do was go home, have a long soak in the bath, have something nice to eat, poodle round to my mum's house, lay on the sofa and watch the football. That was my plan for the evening. And to be honest, I think I deserved it. I had had a hard day. Dan finished videoing and my neighbours came out on the landing. And they're like, Jen, come in for a drink. I'm like, no, I've got to go. And they're like, no, come in. You've moved in. You haven't come in for a drink yet. Come, we want to welcome you. And I was like, no, I need to go and have a bath. And I was explaining the situation that basically I didn't want to do that. And they were like, no, come in, come in. And I was like, oh, for goodness sake. The only way I'm going to get rid of these people is to go in, have a quick drink, shove it down my throat, run out, go round to my mum's. So that was my plan. So I crossed the threshold. They're like, there's your drink. So straight down. I was like, right, got to go. They're like, no, stay, stay. And I'm thinking, oh, my bath. I'm going to miss my bath. And the longer I stayed there, the more I was actually enjoying it, because I had the opportunity to speak to them about what I do for a living, about the fact that I come to the mission and that I'm a Christian. And they were like, oh, this is fantastic. You're like churchy, but you're really normal. And I was like, I wouldn't use normal to describe myself, but yeah, I see what you're saying. And I come out of that place, and the result of taking the time out, I didn't have my long soak in the bath. I didn't have my dinner, and I rushed round to my mum's, and I was 15 minutes late for the football. Now, that may not be the same kind of cost and sacrifice as the Samaritan made, but that was a real-life example of when the rubber hit the road for me. I wanted that bath, and I wanted that nice dinner, and I wanted to be able to watch the football, and I sacrificed that for my neighbour. Now, I wonder for us, how quick we are to love at a cost. You know, it's very easy to cite reasons why we can't stop and pay attention. Actually, I deserve half hour to myself. I've had a long day. The fact is, the love that the Good Samaritan showed to the man who was laying half dead in the road is the love that God calls us to. When Jesus came to earth, he came because God loved us. John 3:16, you heard one of the girls on the video cite it. We're looking at that in Centrepoint at club. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God showed us how much he loved us by loving us at a cost. The price he paid was sending his only son to die for us. And do you know what? We can't even sacrifice our long soak in a bath to show our love for our neighbour. When the rubber hits the road, we're required to love at a cost. The love we call to is costly. There's no pretty way of dressing it up. That's what it's all about. Love always pays a price. Love always costs something. Love is expensive. When you love, you incur benefits to someone else's account. Love is for you. It's not for me. It's not what I receive out of it. It's what you get from it. I wonder, when we're met with someone who we're called to love, what is our first reaction? Is it actually, no, I don't really want to do this? Or is it, you know what, I'm prepared to sacrifice what I want and my own desires for you? Think of that person who you see day in, day out. That person who is laying dead in the road, is our modern day equivalent. Are you prepared to love them at a cost? Am I prepared to love them at a cost? Thirdly, the love that we call to is a love that is beyond reason. I'm sure you've heard many, many times the story of the Good Samaritan and the fact that Samaritans and Jews didn't like each other. To say that actually is a bit of an understatement. They hated each other. Now, the Samaritan comes across the situation and he sees this guy laying on the roadside. And is there any logical reason why he should have stopped for him? To be honest, no. I think if you had done a vox pop of the guy who was laying half dead in a road before he got beaten up and said, who would you least like to help you in your hour of need? Chances are he probably would have said a Samaritan. But the irony is that the Samaritan arrives on the scene. The Samaritan comes across the man who's beaten by a robber. He sees the situation and he moves. He embraces, he sacrifices, he extends, he lifts up. And for whom? For a stranger, for an unknown, for someone who he probably hates. And for what? Well, for no fault of thanks. He didn't do it because he might receive something from it. He just stopped and he helped. Jesus calls us to a love that's beyond reason. The fact is, if you went out into the street and said to someone, you should love your enemy, they think you're mad. And that's rightly so, because the love we call to is upside down. It doesn't make sense. Humanly speaking, Why should I love my neighbour as myself? Why? It makes no sense at all. Jesus speaks earlier on in Luke 6, verse 32 to 33, and he says this. When he's talking about love for our neighbour, he says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And the fact is, it's easy to love our mates. I love my mates and I do anything for them because they're my mates. But when it comes to my neighbour, that person I don't really know that well, that person I won't receive nothing from, do I love them with that same kind of love? No, if I'm honest. Love is a matter of will rather than feeling. It's not about this airy-fairy kind of pink hearts. It's about action, and it's about sacrificial action. Loving the unlovable and paying attention and loving them at a cost is what we're called to do in every area of our lives. Now, I'm really mindful that what I've spoken on this morning isn't rocket science and it isn't mind-blowing and it's not nothing new. It's what you learn in Sunday school and hopefully something that we try to live out in our lives. But when Jesus finishes the parable, this is what he ends up saying to the expert of the law. He says to the expert, he says, which of these three do you think was neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert of the law replied, and he said, the one who showed mercy on him. No, he didn't say the Samaritan. That probably stuck in his throat. And then verse 37, Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Guys, that's the kind of love we're called to do. And in the same way that Jesus said to the expert of the law, you know what it's about, go and do it. That's what we've got to do. It's not about sitting and analysing it. It's about going out and doing it daily when we don't feel like it and for people we don't feel like helping. And the fact is we'll all fall short. We'll all fail. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing as long as we learn from their mistakes. I'll just finish off by sharing with you a story from last week. I went to Cambridge for the day. And we were meeting up with some friends and we were going to go out. It was someone who was leaving the country. And we got there, but we were just like dilly-dallying. And next thing we knew, we were late for meeting him. We was meant to meet him at 8 and it was now like 8:30. We were starving, hungry, and we were running late. So when you're really hungry, what do? You go and get dirty burger and chips, right? So we went into this chip shop, got burger and chips, walking along the road, scoffing it down, running, thinking, oh, we're late, they're going to go mad. And as we come around this corner, there was a guy sitting on the floor with his dog. And he was, like, begging. And I thought, well, I didn't really think anything about it because how many times do you see beggars outside Tesco's and stuff? So just walking past him, and I'm munching on my chips, and he goes, oh, spare us a chip, I'm starving. And in a split second, I had this massive conversation in my head. I thought to myself, God, I bet he says that to everyone. I bet he ain't hungry. And then I was thinking, no, Jen, you should stop and give him your chips. And I was like, no, I'm hungry. And then I was like, I ain't got time, I'm running late. So at that, I just didn't look at the geezer, put my head down, carried on eating my burger and chips, and started marching down the road. All the time, really conscious, Jen, you should have stopped for that geezer. And I was like, oh, justifying it in my mind, no, I shouldn't have stopped. I'm hungry, I'm late, that's fine. Then I turned round, and Paul was with me, and I turned round, and he weren't there. I'm like, where is he? And I've looked behind, and he's coming along, like, just eating his burger, and he's all hanging out, and he's in a right old state. I was like, look at the state of you. Where's your chip carton gone? You look a mess. And he goes, oh, he said, I was walking down the road. He said, I heard that geezer say about giving me your chips, I'm starving. He said, and then I thought, oh, what would Jesus do? He says, I went back and gave him my chips. And I thought, oh, man alive, talk about rub salt into the wounds. And I come back from that, and I think that was a really poignant moment for me because I had prepared for today, and I knew that I was going to be speaking on this, and the reality is I failed to live it out last Saturday in Cambridge, and I really did kick myself about that. But the fact is there's going to be people we encounter, whether it's in our clubs, whether it's in bouncers, whether it's in our workplaces, whether it's family, whether it's friends, who are in desperate need for someone to love them. The fact is, you may work with a guy who's got a nice car, nice house, 2.4 children. That doesn't mean that he doesn't need to be loved. That doesn't mean that he doesn't need the hope that Jesus brings to us. And the fact is, they're the kind of people who we're called to pay attention to. Not to just notice them, but pay attention. And to love them, even when it's at a cost to ourselves. And even when it doesn't make sense, even when it's beyond reason. You know, as followers of Christ, we're called to live lives that are marked out by love. The parable of the Good Samaritan is an example of that. The kind of love we're called to is the kind of love that Paul talks about in Corinthians. I'll just read it. It's from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7. He says this. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. The fact is, it's not easy, and I know that I'm asking us as a body to do something that's difficult, but you know what? With God, all things are possible. The fact is, love is a fruit of the Spirit. And with God's power and with his help, I believe that we can love our neighbour as we love ourselves. I believe we can go one better than that and love our enemies as well. I just want to spend a couple of minutes now for us to really reflect on our own lives. And I want you to think of a typical day in your working week and what it's like for you. I want you to think of them people you come into contact with who desperately need to be loved. They desperately need to hear the hope of Christ. They desperately need us to stop and pay attention. I just want you to think about them, and I want you to think practically this week, what are we going to do differently when we encounter these people? Because the fact is, we can go out from today and say, oh, that was nice, nice memory verse, love your neighbour as yourself. But if the rubber doesn't hit the road, then me speaking this morning has been pointless. So I just want us to spend a couple of minutes just thinking this week, practically, what am I going to do? These are the words from John 13, 34 to 35. And now I give you a new commandment, love one another. If you love one another, then everyone will know that you're my disciples. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that it is just as alive now as it was when it was originally written. And Father, as we've thought about them people in our lives who we encounter daily, and as we've thought about how we can love them as we love ourselves, Father, would you really challenge us this week to live that out in reality? Holy Spirit, would you prompt us in them moments when we're called to pay attention? Would you prompt us in them times where we're not willing to really pay the cost? And Father, when we're trying to justify things in our mind and cite legitimate reasons why we shouldn't love our neighbour, Holy Spirit, would you really prompt us and remind us that the love that we call to is a love beyond reason? Father, thank you that you demonstrated through sending Christ and through his death and resurrection your love for us. And Father, this week too, may we really live out that kind of sacrificial love that you call us to. That you might be glorified, and that our neighbours and our communities might know that we're your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.